Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Football is back and something big is coming. That's right. September 2nd, DraftKings game day arrives. And that is what you need. Game day at DraftKings will be where it's at. And don't forget, we are now live in all 50 states. That's right. 50. One app, every sport, all 50 states. And new DraftKings customers, now you can sign up with code KSR and spend $5 and get $200 in rewards within 21 days. It includes all markets. That's right, all markets. That code is KSR in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours. And you can bet with DK Sportsbook.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over, Kentucky only. Eligibility and restrictions apply. $50 in non-withdrawable bonus bets issued every 7 days via click-to-claim for 21 days. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
I had an opportunity to review the cases, and I did read the Tavish case. And the issue in the Tavish case, I think, is different than the issue that is here, because I do find that these statements do go to Sharon Randall's state of mind at the time. However, pursuant to the reasoning that the court gave in the Tavish case, we will need a limiting instruction in regards to the fact that these statements are only being elicited for the purpose of determining Sharon Randall's state of mind.
Yep.
Okay, so if you guys could get together and draft that into something you can agree on, and then if you cannot, I will make the necessary edits. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
Your Honor. Anything else we need to do outside the presence?
No, Your Honor. Mr. Randolph has just told me that he's concerned about his medications. I informed him that the court had called over and talked with the jail, but he is
Can you move back?
Yes.
They just didn't bring them again. They said it's 4 o'clock. The ones they give me, I have to take with the other ones. So we're just right back, and then when we get back, it'll be 4 o'clock, but we're in court. 5:30, they'll say you should have done them. 9 o'clock, they'll say it's too late. And then at 1 o'clock, they'll say it's too close, and we'll have no meds again. By Monday, when I stroke out or whatever, just say he did put it on the record. That's all.
Well, I talked to the captain over at the jail yesterday. I also spoke with him this morning, and I have been in email conversation with the lieutenant at the jail. They have forwarded me the doctor's orders that say that the next time you're supposed to receive a dose of methadone is at 4 o'clock today. I immediately responded to that email and informed them, you will be in court at 4 o'clock today, so you are to receive that as soon as you get back to the jail tonight.
Okay. We'll try that then.
Yeah. And I sent that to them this morning. But they are. So, did you refuse medication this morning?
No, I just refused the Tylenol because I take it. That's why I take it, because it gives me such a headache. So, no sense taking it now that I won't get it at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. They'll say you already had it.
Okay, well, in regards to the methadone, they know you're supposed to get in at 4 o'clock. They know that you're going to be here. The lieutenant has, the lieutenant of CPC has responded and assured me you will get it when you return tonight.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Do you guys know, are these microphones on the, have the microphones on the council table been removed?
Yes, they have.
They
Your Honor. Yes, they have, Your
Honor. Okay, because I see some cords. What are these cords? Are those, that's Mr. Tomczyk's laptop cord. Okay, so there are no microphones on campus.
That is correct, my Honor.
I just wanted to confirm that. Okay? Anything else that we need to do?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
No, that's what I said.
No.
All right.
Yes, Your Honor.
You say your witnesses here,
Court. I'm going up the back, I assume.
Would you mind just going out there and check this guy?
These rise for the jurors. Present, Your Honor.
Okay. You may all be seated. We are back on the record in C250966. Thank you, Honor, Mr. Thomas Randolph. In the record, that Mr. Randolph is present as attorney, deputy, district attorney on behalf of the state. Do both parties take place in the presence of our jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
State, if you can remind me the name of the witness.
It's Colleen Beyer, Your Honor.
Okay. Ms. Beyer, can you recall her?
Yes.
Okay. Mr.
Schomburg,
we'll be
there. Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon.
Hello.
It's Colleen, not Colleen, right?
Colleen.
Okay. A lot of people pronounce it different ways. I just want to make sure I get it right, okay? Do you know who I am?
You're the defense attorney.
Okay. Do you know my name?
No.
Okay. You can call me Josh. If I ask you a question that's not clear, just go ahead and say, Josh, could you repeat that a different way? I'll be happy to do that for you, okay?
Okay.
All right. You'd agree you and I have never met, right?
Right.
And we've never spoken, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I know Ms. Weckerly, the prosecutor, when she was asking you questions, there was a couple times we needed you to speak up a little bit more. You're extremely soft-spoken, so to the extent you can, if you could try to speak up just a little bit or at least do your best, okay?
All right.
Thank you. I want you to know, first of all, that I'm very sorry for the loss of your mother, okay?
Thank you.
I have lost a parent, and I know that's a difficult thing to go through, but you understand that I have to ask you a few questions, right?
Yes.
Okay. I can tell from you talking about her, you cared about your mother very much, right?
Yes.
You were an only child?
Yes.
Is it safe to say that you didn't have a lot of friends?
No.
Okay. You've never said that before?
Well, possibly.
Okay. Would you agree with me that you've previously said you didn't have a lot of friends and so your mom was kind of your buddy?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that how you stated that?
Well, we were buddies. We hung out every day.
Okay. When you say we hung out every day, you would agree with me, if you're being honest, that there were big periods of time when you didn't hang out at all, right?
There was a stretch where we didn't.
Okay. When we say a stretch, we're talking about kind of an extended stretch of time, right?
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned an individual on direct examination by the name of Philippe, or Philippe,
Philippe.
Philippe? That's your stepfather, right?
Yes.
Okay. But for all intents and purposes, when you were being raised, he was the father figure in your home, right?
Yes.
And you considered him like an actual father, right?
Yes.
Okay. And your mother was married to him for a long time, right?
Yes.
About 27 years?
About, yes.
Okay. At some point, he got sick, right?
Yes.
Okay. And there was some conflict between you and your mom during that period of time, right?
Objection, relevance.
Sure. Now, I don't want to bring up touchy subjects, but you would agree with me that there's a long period of time when you weren't getting along with your mom, right?
Yes.
And that had to do with the time that your stepfather died, right?
When he got ill.
He had cancer, correct?
Yes.
And your mom just kind of took off, as you put it, right?
Yes.
And that caused a strained relationship between you two, did it not?
Correct.
And that strained relationship lasted for years, agreed?
I don't remember exactly how long, probably over a year.
Okay. When Philippe died, you... and your mother stood to inherit some money from his death, right?
Yes.
Okay. Philippe had life insurance, didn't he?
Yes.
About $100,000, right?
It was one $200,000 policy.
Okay. So a $200,000 policy, is that correct?
Yes.
He also had a retirement plan called a 401k, didn't he?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Okay. And did you say before that that was worth about $80,000?
I don't recall.
Okay. Your mom inherited that money, right?
I assume so.
Okay. And you've previously said that she actually blew through all that money in about a year. Fair?
That was my assumption.
Okay. And that's what you told the police, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you also told the police it was because she had a gambling problem.
Yes.
You said she was a big-time gambler.
Yes.
Okay. You'd agree with me that you had some frustration related to the financial aspect of your mom's life, right?
I didn't agree with her choices.
Okay, and it caused you to be frustrated, didn't it?
A little bit.
Okay. At some point, after your mom has spent all that inheritance, she meets a guy by the name of Tommy, right? Tommy?
I guess so.
Okay. Well, you're aware she met Tommy, right?
Yes, eventually.
And you called him Tommy, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And in the time your mom was with Tommy, you actually spent a lot of time with him, right?
Yes.
And you spent time with your family as well, right?
Yes.
Your husband, Mike?
Yes.
And your children, correct?
Yes.
You have two sons, right?
Yes.
And what are their names?
Nicholas and Thomas.
Okay. Tommy spent time with Nicholas and Thomas, right?
Yes.
And you allowed him to do that?
Yes.
And he was good with them, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay. At some point, you become pregnant again with a daughter, right?
Correct.
And your mom was excited that you were going to have a daughter. Right?
Yes.
Because she'd always wanted a granddaughter. That's pretty normal, right?
She loved being a grandma.
Okay. And she was super excited about the fact you were having a girl this time, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is it around that time that you got pregnant with your daughter that you kind of rekindled things with your mom?
It was around the time I was pregnant with Thomas.
Okay.
I rekindled with my mom.
Okay. And Thomas was born when?
June 18th of 06.
Okay. At that time, she was already with Tommy Randolph, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so when you rekindled with your mom, he was in her life.
Yes, he was already in her life.
Right. You weren't necessarily involved with your mother on a day-to-day basis or even a friendly relationship at all when they first met, correct?
Correct.
So most of the testimony that you would give about the early stages of their relationship, that's just from stuff you heard. You didn't see it yourself, right?
Correct.
Okay. You do know that they went out and did a lot of things together when they got together, right?
Yes.
They went to concerts?
Yes.
Did Tommy have real long hair?
Yes.
Okay. And he liked, like, old school rock music?
I think so.
Had a drum set in the house?
Yes.
Okay. Your oldest son, his name's Nicholas, right?
Yes.
He has some special needs, fair?
He has autism.
Okay. And one of the things that he liked to do when things were going good, when he had a good day, was go swimming at Grandma's house, right?
Yes.
Okay. Grandma didn't always have a pool at her house, did she?
Correct.
That 6517 Rancho Santa Fe address the jury's seen pictures of already, I'll just let you know that. That's where your mom lived, right?
Yes.
She originally lived there with Philippe, right?
Correct.
And then she took off, he passed, she kept the house. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay. Tommy moved into that house, right?
Yes.
When Philippe died, there wasn't a pool there, was there?
No.
Okay. You're aware that Tommy was instrumental in getting a pool installed in the house, right?
It was his idea. Yes.
You're aware that your mom couldn't financially qualify for a pool, right?
I don't know.
Okay. Do you remember testifying and talking about how Tommy's name was put on a deed and taken off a deed? Do you remember that?
No, when?
Okay. Like, do you, just a yes or no. Do you remember that?
Ask again.
Do you remember testifying and talking about Tommy being placed on a deed to the house and then taken off a deed to the house?
Yes.
Okay. Were you aware that Tommy had to be placed on the house in order to qualify for a loan to install that pool?
No, I did not know that.
Okay. Were you aware that your mom wanted to buy land in Utah shortly before she passed?
Objection, foundation.
It's a yes or no.
Then it's hearsay.
It's not. It's a yes or no if she was aware of it. I didn't
listen.
She
answered if she was aware of it.
Buying property in Utah?
Yes.
No, buying property in Arizona.
Okay. It's your testimony that your mom wanted to buy property in Arizona?
Tommy wanted her and him to buy property in Arizona.
Okay. Is it your testimony that she didn't want to buy property in Utah?
I don't know about that.
Okay. When your mom and Tommy were together after you rekindled with your mom, Thomas was real small. Your son was real small, right?
He was one, a few months.
After he was born and in his infancy, you would go over to mom's, right?
Yes.
And Tommy would be there.
Yes.
Tommy was kind to you at that time, wasn't he?
Yes.
Told you he loved you?
Yes.
Showed you he loved you too, right?
What do you mean, showed me?
He talked to you in a kind way, yes?
He was kind, yes.
He spent time with your children in a kind way, yes?
Yes.
He bought them presents, right?
Probably.
He had some physical ailments, didn't he?
His back problem is what I know of.
Tommy had a back problem that you were acutely aware of, right? He didn't hide that fact, correct?
He did not hide it.
And sometimes it would flare up and be really bad, and other times it wasn't quite as bad. You agree with that?
Yes, I agree.
There were times when, like, he was playing with the kids and his back pain would flare up and he had to put him down, for instance, right?
Yes.
And there were times he would do something around the house and all of a sudden out of the blue he'd just kind of bend over and make noise, right?
Yes.
Now, you observed those things, correct?
Yes.
And you knew that he had to be on medication for that back problem, correct?
That's what I heard, yes.
Okay. Well, you knew that he took medication, correct?
I saw the medication in the house.
Right. And when you saw it, it was with the knowledge that it was for Tommy, right?
It has a name on it.
Okay. You had some conversations with your mom and with Tommy about a concern that you had involving firearms in the house. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You knew that your mom had some firearms, right?
Right.
That she had inherited from some relatives, correct?
Yes.
And you didn't know where she kept them in the house, right?
No.
You were concerned because you had a 10 or 11-year-old, and you had a little one that would be over at her house, right?
Correct.
You were also aware that Tommy had firearms, correct?
Correct.
And you had a conversation with them about placing them up out of the way so the kids couldn't get them, right?
I recall them just reassuring me that they were hidden and there would be no way the children could find them.
Okay, that was exactly my next question. To your knowledge, those guns were hidden in the house where the kids couldn't get them, right?
Correct.
And you didn't even know where they were hidden in the house, right?
Correct.
But you were assured that your children would be safe.
Correct.
Okay. And you're aware that they had those guns for protection, right?
I assume.
Okay. You met an individual through Tommy and your mom by the name of Mike Miller, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I think you told the jury on direct examination that when important holidays would come up, Tommy Randolph would just kind of take off and go be with his girlfriend. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. I want to clear something up. When you observed Tommy and your mom talk about this girlfriend, you were aware that was a situation in their relationship, right?
Yes.
Tommy talked to you about it, didn't he?
About?
The fact that he had dated someone else in a different state, right?
Yes.
And there were times when he and your mom weren't doing so great and he would go be with that person, right?
Yes.
And in fact, when he would come back, he would talk to you about it, right?
He did once.
Told you he missed you, right?
Yes.
And he cared about you, correct?
Yes.
And he wanted to come back, right?
Yes.
Okay. You'd agree with me that by doing that, he wasn't hiding the fact that he had a relationship with that person, correct?
No.
You're aware that he talked to your mom about it too, right?
Yes.
And he didn't hide that from her either, did he?
No, he did not.
Okay. Did your mom and Tommy have a pretty open communication from your observation?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, shortly after they got together, they talked about how they were going to live, how they were going to die, things like that. Big conversations, agreed?
Is that when they first got together?
Sure.
I assume so.
Well, you're aware that your mom actually went out with Tommy and bought, as it was put on direct examination, his and her urns, right?
She went with him?
Yes.
I don't recall.
Okay. You're aware that you've talked about that before, though, when you did recall, right?
Right. I heard them talk about getting the urns, but I didn't know they were actually purchased.
Okay. Maybe my question wasn't clear. This is a good example of that. You know that they communicated with each other about that process, right?
Yes.
And they did that in front of you, correct?
Yes.
That wasn't a secret either, right?
No.
And it wasn't like morbid or weird. They were just talking about their plans for the future, right?
I guess. So it sounded strange to me so early on. But okay.
But didn't appear to strange to your mom, did it?
I guess not if she went and bought them.
Okay. Okay, I want to go back to Mike Miller. You actually spent some holidays with Tommy and your mom, right?
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
Couple.
And in fact, before she died, there was an Easter holiday when you spent time with your mom and Tommy and Mike Miller, right?
Yes.
I mean, Mike Miller had actually been to your house, right?
It's the part I can't remember. I think he didn't come in the house. He was outside. I don't remember if it was him or Tommy that came over to help me just put chicken wire on the roof for the pigeons.
Okay.
That was it.
Yeah. So that you had a pigeon problem at your house for a period of time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you told us your husband's name is Mike, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mike, your husband, had conversations with Mike Miller as well, right?
Yes.
And Mike Miller actually came to your house to help install, as you put it, chicken wire to deal with the pigeon problem, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mentioned a moment ago this Easter holiday before your mom passed. Do you remember where you had Easter dinner that year? Was it your house or your mom's?
My mom's.
Okay. You were there?
Yes.
And your husband was there?
Yes.
And your kids were there?
Yes.
And Mike Miller was there?
Yes.
Okay. Easter's a pretty big holiday, right?
Okay. Yeah.
You agree with that?
Okay, yes.
Okay. I mean, Easter dinner was a big deal in your family. Fair?
My mom loved to cook, yes.
Right. And your mom loved Easter dinner, correct?
Yes.
And so she invited all the people that your family cared about over for that dinner that day, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Mike Miller was there?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing secretive about Mike Miller being there. He actually sat down at the table and ate with y'all, didn't he?
Yes. I don't recall if he was invited or he was there working earlier and she just let him meet.
He sat down at the table and ate with you for Easter dinner, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. The state played some voicemail messages that Tommy had left you after your mom passed. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask you about a couple different calls, okay?
Okay.
One of the things that's not on a voicemail, because it's actually a connection when you talk to Tommy, is you actually call Tommy the day after your mom has been killed, right?
I don't recall. You mean on the 9th?
Yes.
Yes, yes, I tried to call him.
Well, you testified about it on direct examination. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he answered the phone.
Yeah. Your number came up on his phone, and he answered it, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you said that you asked on direct examination, that's what you said, that you said, what did you do to my mom, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you agree with me that from your words, his response was, Mike shot your mom, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you said he hung up, right?
Right.
Okay. Do you know what Tommy had been through that night?
No.
Are you aware that he found your mom?
Yes.
Are you aware that he shot and killed Mike?
The next day, I don't
recall. As you sit here right now, are you aware that he shot and killed Mike?
Yes.
After Mike shot and killed your mother?
Yes.
Okay. Are you aware that he had to go to the police department?
Wasn't aware.
Okay. And that he was interviewed for hours. Were you aware of that?
Objection. Assumes facts not in evidence and foundation.
I don't know anyone.
Hold on just one second.
I'm just asking if she was aware of it. I'm not assuming any facts. She may not know.
It still lacks foundation of her personal knowledge. What would be the foundation of that?
Well, you can ask her if she knows about that.
Do you know that Tommy Randolph gave an interview to the police that night that your mom was killed?
Did I know that the day after?
No. Do you know that now?
I know that now, yes.
Okay. The day after, did you know that?
I don't think so.
Okay. When you had that brief conversation with him on the telephone on the 9th, you would agree with me that you didn't know at all what he'd been through that night, right?
Correct.
Okay. Knowing that now, do you think that that phone call makes a little more sense?
No.
Okay. Let me ask about some of the other phone calls. You told the state on direct examination that you didn't save all of the voicemails that Tommy left you, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tommy actually called you quite a bit after your mom was killed, didn't he?
Yes.
So it's not like he just hung up on you and cut you out of his life, right?
Right.
In fact, he left a lot more voicemails than the ones that we heard in court, right?
I guess so.
And you actually had quite a few phone calls with him, right?
Yes.
And sometimes after he'd leave a message, you'd call him back. Sometimes, right?
Yes.
And he didn't hide from your calls, correct?
No.
He told you where he was going and what he was doing, didn't he?
Yes.
You were aware that he had a family member that had some severe health issues up in Utah right after your mom passed, right?
Yes.
someone in his family had a stroke, right?
Right.
And he told you he had to go to Utah to help care for that person, didn't he?
Yes.
You were aware of that, correct?
Right.
Okay. He communicated with you that whole time he was up in Utah, didn't he?
Right.
His communication with you originally, after your mom died, was very kind, wasn't it?
Yes.
Told you he loved you, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he said on one of those, was that a yes? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. I think he said on one of those phone calls, hearing your voice is like being home again. Isn't that what he said to you?
Yes, I heard that.
And he told you he loved you, didn't he?
Yes.
While he's up in Utah, you actually take some action involving your mom's estate without telling him, didn't you?
Yes.
You went to court on your own, didn't you?
Yes.
And you filed an ex parte application, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. Were you aware that on June 3rd, right after your mom died, Tommy Randolph gave an interview to the LVMPD? Were you aware of that?
No.
Okay. On June 3rd, that same day, you filed that ex parte application with the court, right?
I don't remember the exact date.
Okay. I've got it. If I were to show it to you and say it represented June 3rd, you wouldn't dispute that, would you?
I won't.
Okay. And in that application, you made representations to the court, didn't you?
Like,
for instance, Tommy had abandoned the home. He'd gone to Utah, wasn't communicating with anybody.
I don't recall that.
Okay. You'd agree that document would speak for itself, wouldn't it?
The document?
That you filed with the court on June 3rd.
For probate?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What was the purpose of you filing that document?
My mother's intention was to leave me the home.
Okay. I didn't ask about your mom's intention. I asked what yours was.
I wanted to do as my mother wished.
Okay. You agree with me you didn't say, hey, Tommy, this is what my mom wanted. I'm going to do this, right?
Right.
He was communicating with you, being kind to you, and you were taking some action for a financial reason, right?
Right.
Okay. Ex parte petition means you don't tell the other side about it. You just file it directly to the court. Did you know that?
No.
Okay. You had a lawyer, right?
Yes.
Okay. You actually got appointed something called a special administrator, didn't you?
Correct.
Okay. And one of the things that you said is that mom's house was vacant and you were afraid that things were going to be vandalized, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. Tommy had never told you I was going to vandalize mom's house, did he?
No.
In fact, he said he was going to take care of you and your kids, didn't he?
He said something like that.
In fact, he said it on those voicemails, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. You would agree with me that on those voicemails, at least the ones that you kept, there's a couple where he calls you a liar, right?
Yes.
Okay. Will you be truthful about the fact today that you lied to him prior to him saying that?
About?
Did you lie to him about what was going on with the court?
I did not tell him that I had a will.
Okay. And he actually had talked to you face-to-face and on the phone about the finances and your mom's wishes, right?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Yeah. And you didn't tell him anything about it, right?
No.
Okay. You'd agree with me that it appears on those calls that the state played that on a couple of them, when he calls you a liar, he's upset with you, right?
Yes.
Okay. At one point, he says something really hurtful. Do you remember that?
Which part?
On one of those calls, he says, I can see why your mom didn't like you. Do you remember that?
Right.
Okay. You're aware that when he and your mom met, you and your mom weren't speaking, correct?
Correct.
Did your mom ever tell you that she had said bad things about you to him before?
Did she tell me?
Okay.
Not that I recall.
All right. Tommy actually called you back and said, I'm sorry about that, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. And he says in one of those calls, your mom did love you, right?
I think so.
And he said he loved you too, right?
Yes.
Okay. You would agree with me that until you went to court behind his back and made certain claims, that he was never upset with you about money at all, right?
I think he was.
Okay, can you cite me one example when he ever said he was upset with you about money, other than in that one instance?
No.
Because it didn't happen, did it?
He was back and forth with what he wanted to do.
Okay. Well, you made a decision real quick about what you wanted to do with the 6517 Rancho Santa Fe place, right?
Yes.
In fact, once you got appointed special administrator, you listed it to sell it immediately, right?
I don't recall that.
Okay. If the paperwork indicated that in July, in that same court proceeding, the case I just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
you put the house up for sale, that sounds
I don't recall. I remember I had to rent it. I rented it.
Okay. You remember you put it up for sale? You got approval from the court to do that?
I don't recall the moment, but if it's in there, yes.
Okay. You don't dispute that, do you?
I don't.
When you did all that and took over as special administrator, Tommy had been living in your mom's 6517 place that he had put a pool in and invested in. He'd been living there for a couple years, right?
Yes.
Okay. He had a bunch of stuff there, didn't he?
Stuff?
Clothes?
Yes.
Possessions? Yes?
Yes.
A motorcycle?
Yes.
Okay. When you became special administrator, you changed the locks, right?
Correct.
And you didn't let him go in and get his stuff, did you?
Not right away.
In fact, a long time went by when he didn't have access to his things, right?
I don't know how much time... Okay. Went by, but...
Months sound right?
I don't recall.
Okay. At some point, the police actually come and assist him in getting his items out of that house, right?
Correct.
Okay. Because he had a right to his things, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. And until you took that away, he could have just gone and got them, right?
Yes.
Okay. You'd agree with me that other than when you restricted his access to his stuff, he never fought with you about money, did he?
No.
Mama's done, okay? Were you aware or not, did your mom have tattoos?
Yes. Okay.
Were you aware of what tattoos she had?
Only a few.
Can you tell me about them?
A heart, a rose.
Do you remember where the heart and rose were?
On her ankle.
Okay.
She had a henna design tattoo on her wrist, her hand.
All right. Do you know the significance of that one? The henna design?
The henna design? No.
Okay. What other ones?
That's all I can remember right now that I knew of at that time. But then I found out later after her death she had another tattoo.
She actually had a few more tattoos, right?
I can recall one. It was initials TR.
Okay. For Tommy Randolph, right?
I assume so.
Okay. And I don't mean to embarrass you at all. I know this is hard to talk about, but she had a tattoo in a very private area of her body, didn't she?
That's what I heard, yes.
And it was her initials in a heart, right?
His initials, I
right.
thought.
His right. TR in a heart.
Oh, right? A heart, too. I didn't know about the heart.
Okay. Did you know that she had your name tattooed on her?
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's right.
Okay.
On the shoulder, and Nicholas's name.
Right. Because she loved you, right?
And a son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
She loved you, right?
Yes.
And she wanted that on her body forever, didn't she?
Right.
She loved Nicholas, right?
Yes.
And that was on her body forever, correct?
Yes.
She loved Tommy too, didn't she?
I don't know.
Okay. Last question I'm going to ask you. As you sit here today, you can be honest about this. You do not like Tommy Randolph at all, do you?
No.
Not anything else.
Thank you. So on cross-examination, Mr. Tomczak was talking to you about all the times that Thomas Randolph told you, you know, I love you, and all these times he was participating in family events and was nice to your kids. Were you happy that this was the person that your mom was involved with?
No.
Did you like him?
No.
Were you in favor of this relationship?
No.
Were there things about Mr. Randolph that you just put up with because this was who your mom chose to be in a partnership with and marry?
Yes.
Were you happy that you spent holidays with him?
We only hardly spent any holidays together, just Easter that I remember.
Because the other holidays he was with...
Right.
The other person? I mean, did you like that aspect of the relationship?
No.
I mean, did you...
I didn't, yeah.
Did you personally feel close to Mr. Randolph?
No.
Were you close to... Before the homicide, did you confide in him? Did you have an important relationship with him? Was he someone you relied upon as a friend?
No, nothing like that.
Was your relationship to him a function of him being involved with your mom?
Correct.
Now, on the filing of the will, you were asked on cross-examination about whether or not you told Mr. Randolph that you were going to go file the will that would make yourself essentially the executor of your mom's estate.
Right.
And you acknowledged on cross-examination that you did not tell Mr. Randolph that you were going to do that.
Right.
Why?
I was afraid.
Of him?
Of him.
When you did that, prior to doing it, had you sought the advice of a lawyer?
Yes.
And the lawyer kind of, I guess, maybe set up paperwork for you and the lawyer filed things on your behalf?
Yes.
Was in those calls that we hear from Mr. Randolph shortly after the homicide that we played in court, was he trying to settle the whole estate with you without getting lawyers involved?
Yes.
Did you want to have it handled by lawyers?
Yes.
Is that why you hired one?
Yes.
During the time that your mom was involved with Mr. Randolph, you said that you saw Mike Miller. He would come over to the house and he would be spending time with Mr. Randolph. Did he ever have any other friends over to the house?
No.
Did you ever see him with any other friend besides Mike Miller?
No. He had one friend visit from out of town once.
Do you remember?
And that was it.
Sorry, do you remember when that was?
I don't recall when it was.
Okay.
But I know he wasn't here for very long either.
So... You were talking on cross-examination about the time you spent over at your mom's. Like, you'd go over and your youngest child, I think, wasn't school-aged yet. Like, Nicholas would be in school, and you would go over and see your mom during
Correct.
The day.
Correct. Right.
During those times, were you interacting with both your mom and Mr. Randolph, or how was the time spent?
Well, if he was there, yes.
Okay.
Interact with him.
I'm sorry?
We would interact. Okay. He was there.
When you and your mom would run errands and go out to eat and stuff, did you do stuff sort of mother-daughter, or was Mr. Randolph always involved?
Mother-daughter, and I also took Thomas with me.
Okay, your child. I think you talked about on cross-examination how in the relationship between your mom and Mr. Randolph, there was a lot of going out and hearing music and all that. Maybe in 2006 when you start rekindling the relationship with your mom. Is that correct?
Yes, they were.
In 2008, was the level of going out and doing things the same?
It died down.
Mr. Tomchek asked you about the fact that your mom and Mr. Randolph had guns in the house. You were aware that there were guns in that house, correct?
Yes.
Were you aware of whether or not they had ever gone, like, shooting targets, like, for fun?
Yes.
And were you aware that they did that?
Yes.
How about, did you ever know Michael Miller to go with them?
Yes.
So he went with them target shooting as well?
Yes.
Prior to your mom being involved with Mr. Randolph, had she had discussions with you about life insurance?
No.
Earns? Before him?
No.
I mean, was she talking
about... When she was married to my Philippe still?
Yeah. Obviously, when you're an adult, I mean, was this something that she was talking about quite a bit, life insurance and earns?
No. It's never a concern or a thought.
Okay. The call that you have with Mr. Randolph on the 9th after you learn of your mom's death, do you recall what time that was?
It's about 10:30 in the morning.
10:30 in the morning on the 9th?
Yeah, around the 10.
Okay. And you had to call him, right? He didn't call you?
He had been trying to call me, okay. But I was not able. I was trying to call my mom, and I couldn't get a hold of her.
Okay.
And he was calling. I didn't understand why, but I didn't want to answer.
Why didn't you want to answer?
I thought they had gotten in a huge fight, and I didn't know if he was going to complain. I wanted to talk to my mom first.
Was their relationship such that you would get a call from one or the other because of fights and things like that?
He wouldn't call me. My mom sometimes would.
Okay. So why were you concerned when you saw a call from him?
Because I hadn't heard from my mom.
Okay. And so were you worried about some situation with them?
Yeah.
Were things in their relationship volatile?
It was rocky.
Mr. Tomchek asked you on cross-examination about the fact that someone in Mr. Randolph's family had a stroke and that individual lived up in Utah.
Yes.
That medical event, was that before your mom's death?
Yes, I think so.
Is that what they were doing the week before, or in those days, I should say, before the 8th?
Yes.
Court's indulgence. Thank you, Your Honor.
Three girls.
Just a couple more questions, I promise. I just want to clarify. The day following your mom's passing, so the morning of the 9th, Mr. Randolph actually tried to call you a number of times, right?
Yes.
And you just didn't answer his calls, correct?
Correct.
And at some point, you call him?
Yes.
Right? And he answered yours, right?
Yes.
And he told you Mike had shot your mom, right?
Yes.
Okay. Were you aware that he had actually also repeatedly called your husband, Mike?
Yes, I found out later.
And you also found out later that he had told Mike, your husband, exactly what had happened to your mom, right?
Right.
And Mike, your husband, never called you and told you, right?
Right. He just called me and asked me to come home. I think he wanted to tell me while I was not driving.
Okay. So Mike, your husband, answered the call, and Tommy explained to him what had occurred, right?
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Last thing I'm going to ask you about. Your older son, back in 2008, Nicholas, went to school, correct?
Yes.
You're aware that he had kind of a, well, let me ask you, did he have a special, like an IEP or anything at school?
Yes.
Okay. And one of the things you have to let the school know is who's acceptable to you to pick up your child from school, right?
Right.
And on that list, you include people that you trust to take care of your child, correct?
You mean at the school's front office is where you give the emergency contacts information?
You give emergency contact information and also a permission list of those individuals that you trust enough to pick up your child, right?
Yes.
You included Tommy Randolph on that list, didn't you?
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.